Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, first half planned. It's a good one. Take a deep dive into what's wrong with society. And Lou Gossett Jr., actor extraordinaire, Academy Award winner, Emmy Award winner, he's on. So we got that coming. First, LifeLock 5G. It'll be a giant leap for mobile communications, offering lightning speed, more reliable communications, and higher quality streaming video. But it's also going to come with a price tag. More targets for attacks and easier state-sponsored surveillance. Let's protect ourselves, people. Let's get ourselves some LifeLock. So many threats in today's connected world. Just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. And when they do, they'll take your personal information because it's all exposed out there now. Look, someone could use it to commit identity theft, and they're going to. So, good thing. LifeLock Identity Theft Protection has the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It is the best. It is LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult, and it shouldn't get in the way, and that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership, and when you're ready to purchase a home, and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage. Right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS. ConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button. Get mortgage. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Today, Academy Award-winning actor Lou Gossett Jr. calls in. With Gina Gratt on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, even though it's July, he's feeling rather jejune. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on the mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Hi, guy.
Boy, I got stuff. I got hot Partridge Family talk.
Oh, good.
Jesus.
I got something.
Someone just sounds remote.
The homelessness crisis, the situation affected me greatly today, which was I had a meeting at Paramount, which is off of Melrose in the middle of the city kind of place. Mm-hmm. And I was driving in from my place, and I got off the 101 on Melrose, and I was heading toward Normandy, and the street had been blocked off. Melrose had been blocked off, and they were diverting all the traffic to essentially go up a side street, turn right, go down a side street, turn right again, go down Western, and then get back onto Melrose. It was making a big horseshoe to only travel about 200 feet forward, but they'd blocked off that chunk of Melrose, and there was a fire truck and a fire hydrant, and it was doing something I've never seen before, which is the fire truck was kind of parked kind of sideways, blocking the street, blocking the traffic. They had a guy out there, like, directing traffic. Anybody who suffers from this syndrome, please have your spouse hit you over the fucking head with a snow shovel. You know that part where the traffic cop is in the intersection, or they're out in front of the Hollywood Bowl, or they're standing in front of the fire truck, and the guy's an official something, or the chick's official something, and the person, three cars in front of you, is stopped, and the person's waving, come on, come on, and the person's just frozen there, and the guy's like, go, and they're like, I don't know what shall I do, and it's like, the fucking person is telling you to go. I don't. How dangerous do you think this is?
You think you're a third base coach waving around?
Are you going to get in trouble by this person? The person is begging you to go, and you're holding everybody up behind you because there's something wrong with your fucking brain where you just sit there and you go like, I don't know. Is it okay? Yes, I'm telling you with my hands. Please come this way in your vehicle, and you're like, not so fast.
The mode you should be in that situation is, ooh, this is a chance for me to get one extra, possibly two extra cars through when he holds up the hand, because holding up the hand, that's not a hand. That's not a red light. That's a, let's start bringing this to a close.
So I saw something I've never seen, and if you think about poor firemen. Like, firemen used to be, like, the part about being a fireman that was, you know, considered beneath you was getting a cat out of a tree.
Right.
When I was a kid, they hit that trope every 15 minutes on every sitcom. Like, the cat's in the tree, and the old lady's called the fireman, and he's going to go up and get it. It's weird that it's a fireman. I never thought about this. I don't think, you know what's a bad move? I've just stumbled onto something. I'm going to tell my kids, do not ever have money, do not ever have a good back, and do not own a pickup truck.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you are those things, you shall be punished. Mm-hmm. The society will punish you. Everyone will want your money. Everyone will just chalk it up to lucky or daddy's money or something like that. If you have a pickup truck, everyone's going to ask you to help move, or can I borrow your pickup truck or whatever it is. If you have a good back, they will ask you to help them jump in and move. Here's the other one that'll fuck your shit up. Owning a good ladder. Owning a good ladder just means people, could you come over and fix my satellite dish? Like, I realize the only reason firemen get cats out of trees is because they have a ladder.
Right,
it's not fireman work.
Right.
It could be meter maid work if they had a ladder. They have a ladder. They have a truck. They're screwed. People call them, and they have good backs.
Yep. Firefighters and old librarians.
Right.
Just getting cats out of trees.
Right.
Old scientists.
So, well, if it's mounted and on brass wheels.
It's a different story, I guess.
So these poor firemen were doing something that they did not sign up for when they went to the academy, which is they blocked off Melrose at the 101. I was watching them, and they had a hose hooked up to a hydrant.
Okay.
The reason Melrose was blocked off is the hose was going across Melrose, and they didn't want people driving over the hose, presumably. And then the firemen were tucked up under the 101 overpass and the steep cement embankment.
Mm-hmm.
It's off the sidewalk that goes up to the overpass. And they had a load of like Dawn dishwashing detergent or something because foam was going everywhere. And they're just spraying the brown foam all over
God.
The place. Like, all the crap and the roaches and the fecal matter and everything was just flowing. It's just cascading down the side of the freeway embankment, the cement side, and then into the gutter and then into the sea because we don't have any way to protect. We don't have any way to capture or scrub that water. That water just, this is L.A. This is the most highest taxes and the most woke and the most environmentally conscious. But we don't have a way to take sewer water and not have it spill out into the bay and kill marine life.
Right.
We don't have that.
No, we're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
We'll get the people to scrub the marine life once they're poisoned.
Right. Although it's all we do is talk about that. We just don't have any modality for that. No one's ever figured out that this array of sewage systems should probably lead somewhere and go through a Brita filter before it goes into the fucking bay. And then the Surf Riders Foundation give us an F- every year because all the shit in the bay, because of course there's going to be stuff in the bay every time it rains. Yeah. All the transmission fluid and oil and hobo flop are going into the bay.
In L.A., we specialize in pounds of cure, not an ounce of prevention. All we do is cure. All we do is send the people to the beach with the ironically, the Dawn and the toothbrushes and scrubbing
and
the birds. But can't prevent it. Can't do anything to stop that. But we'll do a lot to clean it up.
Right. So these poor firemen were there to clean up hobo shit.
Hmm. Yep.
And we paid for the hose and the water and
the pounds of cure,
and they were just cleaning all that up. And then I was late to this meeting because all the traffic was diverted in this long wagon train of cars all being pushed off through side streets. Now, the good news is I got to pass a bunch of vans on blocks that people were living out of, sort of inboard,
in
the neighborhood. And then I thought, somebody paid $1.1 million for that house, and there's a van in front of it with people living in it.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
And you're right, it's on blocks. The van itself is not mobile.
No.
I was just in Santa Monica yesterday, and I said the same thing. There are so many immobile vans, and I don't know if you guys have been to Main Street lately in Santa Monica. So many storefronts empty. Businesses closed, tents everywhere. Mm.
So I was on the phone with Mike August, who was at the meeting.
He's beating up a homeless person at the time.
waiting for me. And I said, you know, we always just have the same conversation. Like, somebody's going to have to come down and start hurting some feelings and get this town cleaned up. There's just fuck the ACLU and fuck everyone and their feelings. Like, somebody's going to have to be a Vince Lombardi, football coach, General Patton. You know, someone's going to have to walk. Someone's going to have to get a revolver, nickel revolver with a pearl handle on it, and just walk into a hospital and, like, grab one of these homeless guys and go, get back out there in that battlefield. Don't tell me about your shell shock. Someone's going to have to be tough. And he said, well,
it's my nerves, sir.
Yeah. That's where New York was kind of in this position too. People were getting raped in the park. There's homeless all over the place, and it was all the stuff.
And Times Square.
Giuliani just went, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop and frisk everybody all the time. And everyone was, of course, outraged. Mm. Like, no, you can't do this. And he had his broken window policy and everything like that. And then it fixed itself, like, almost immediately. So I said, we have a mayor that acts like he's an instructor at some yoga studio where he's talking to divorcee middle-aged broads. We need somebody to fucking get in here and mix it up. And he said, well, first we need to bottom out like New York bottomed out. And I said, We have bottomed out.
I was going to say, we've been out of town.
We have set a new definition of bottoming out. So if you would have got hold of, so New Yorkers in the early mid-90s went, we bottomed out. We're ready for somebody new to come in here and crack some heads. We have built up a tolerance to bottoming out. We have mathematically bottomed out, but we have a new yardstick to measure bottoming out. This is bottomed out. It's everybody everywhere, junk everywhere, trash everywhere, graffiti everywhere, people sleeping all over the sidewalk. If you would have gone back to 1994, this would be bottom. Right. We have a new definition of bottom.
Yeah. Move
the goalposts. We've stretched ourselves out.
Exactly. We've dug deeper.
Right. So, That's interesting seeing firemen. By the way, I hope no fire breaks out while these guys are on cleanup duty. And there's all these suds pouring down the thing. It's like a weird thing. And I'm like, oh, they've got to clean up. They're trying some half-baked attempt to stop the typhoid spread or whatever. But it's all just cascading down and going into the sea.
This is 100% true story, by the way, I'm about to tell. This happened literally, I'll say 48 hours ago. Speaking of, people, let's stop being nice about it. And let's, this is where people's heads are at. You're not that far out there considering what I heard. So, we're on Balboa Island for the 4th of July, right? And all those houses are very close to each other. They're just a couple of feet apart from the next house. So when you're outside your house, you can hear the conversations next door quite easily. And I'm on the porch of Christy's family's house, and there's a, old timer holding court. With his, I assume, friends or family on their porch just next door. So they're like 10 feet away. I can hear him. He is quite loud and quite opinionated. He is explaining. I'm going to try and get this exactly right because I was shocked, kind of disgusted, but also kind of like, wow, that's how people think. Like he was like, here's they'll go at the homeless problem, right? Here's what you do with the homeless. Here's what you do. He had a very strong opinion. He said, give them three chances. You train them. You train them for a job. You train them as an architect. This is what he said. You train them as an architect. Architect is 5 years of school. Well, most degrees take 4 years. It takes 5 years for an architecture degree.
To be fair, these guys are building watertight shelters with just refrigerator boxes and shopping carts. Like so maybe you do want up. These guys in your firm.
And who stares at more buildings?
That's right. They got a leg up on the competition. It's like, give them three chances. And if they can't get it together or whatever he said, if they can't do it, then you put them down. And then there's some grumbling like at the table. Like not disagreeing, but grumbling, and he's like, "Well, I don't understand. If you can put a dog down, why can't you put down a worthless person?" And I was like, "Yeah, all right, this is the kind of compassion I'm going for."
Well, it definitely creates that, which is not what you're looking for. Which is, I don't know if that guy would have thought that way about the homeless X amount of years ago, but he's there now.
Yeah. That was a fun conversation.
That was a nice conversation. I have. We're talking about organ-related, organ-driven songs and what are the best ones. And Charles emailed me a Booker T and the MGs song, and it's live. And I think it says that Crosby, Stills, and Nash are like looking on. It's a video.
CCR.
Oh. Oh, Creedence Clearwater. Okay, I got it.
CSN,
sorry.
CCR,
yes, yeah. I had my initial script. But, right, are looking on. It's from 1970. The thing that I didn't know about Booker T and the MGs is the guitar player and the bass player were the guys that then went in and were in the Blues Brothers.
Donald Duck Dunn.
Yeah, and
Matt Guitar Murphy.
No.
The other guy?
No, the Cropper.
Steve Cropper. I have a paper there.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. So it's very live. Mm-hmm. It's very 70s. Oh, it's 1970, mm-hmm. and it's live, but it's like you forget what music with just a little edge to it that like that hasn't been polished.
Was the studio perfect?
Yeah, like it feels real.
Yeah,
I'll play you. It's got a slow beginning to it, but I think you'll and it's also a cool band because it's a two white guy, two black guy band. The drummer and Booker T are black, the bass and the guitar are white guys. Time is Tight is the name of the song. You're going to recognize it when it starts up. And you also recognize it from the Blues Brothers. So that's Steve Cropper. His beard got longer when he went to the Blues Brothers. They're opening for Creedence?
Yeah, this is in Oakland.
Someone did a good job of filming this. And you can see it. We'll throw it up at AdamCarolla.com. And they're showing the Creedence guys off to the wings, excited. You get it, but that's a good live organ song. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Adam.
You know, people have to pay for a sitter. Mm-hmm. They have to pay for parking.
Yeah.
Dinner.
They have to buy admission. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a two-drink minimum. I mean, a night out for a couple is not free.
I know, yeah.
Parking valet.
And they want to enjoy themselves.
Okay.
Enough said. Let's just move forward.
You pick up what he's putting down.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
I'll keep that in mind.
You see the people in the audience at the Booker T concert?
Yeah, they look
they were having a good time.
It's all smiles.
Happy to
finger
be there.
Popping music. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all.
Okay.
Get an organ.
Write that down.
I don't know why that's so satisfying. It's got just a little bit of a rough hue on it or something, but it's just enough. It's great to see guys who know how to play too and enjoying it.
Yeah.
And for some reason, no lyrics means it really has to stand on its own. It's sort of like people say sometimes they go, oh, I like stand-up comedy because it's like the purest form. You know, there's nothing but you and the audience or whatever. That if you're going to write a song that's 5 minutes long with no singing,
better be good.
Yeah, so it's funny that those guys got plucked up to become the Blues Brothers after that. All right, let's see. I got other things to... So I was... you know, medium to large earthquake Friday night.
And how?
After we recorded the show where we mentioned the earthquake, there was a bigger earthquake.
Yep. I was sitting, I had this weird moment. So I was at the Hollywood Improv, and I was sitting in the back booth where the comedians kind of, it's kind of comedian corral. They just put you, you're in the club, it just, in the far back corner, and it's dark, and you just sort of sit there waiting to go on. And guest of the show, Ron Funches, is doing stand-up comedy. And he's about 10 minutes in, and he's funny, and the audience is good. And at some point, the audience goes cold. Like, I can feel it in the room. Like, I'm like, oh, he's lost them. Like, you hear little talking in between tables and a little like, nope, not that feeling of, oh, they're off. They're not with him on this next whatever. That was my first impulse. And then 2 seconds later, I'm like, oh, no, the earth is moving. He's not lost them. Something is happening and people are not looking at him and responding. They're looking at each other. And it went on.
It was a long
shaker. It went on for a while. As somebody who's been through a few of these in L.A., this was on the longer side. And I was just sitting there in the back of that room going, I wonder what year this building was built. It is funny, as the guy who did earthquake rehab, here's how it goes. Steel is fine. Wood is fine. Masonry is bad. Unreinforced masonry, concrete with no rebar in it, is real bad. And brick is the worst. Brick is... I've taken out brick fireplaces and stuff. I literally just push them over. Like, they'll just fall over. Yeah, there's nothing to...
You think the image of, like, you know, a brick shit house or whatever.
No.
Sturdy as hell. Nope.
Brick is the worst. Now, the signature of the improv is the brick facade.
That's right.
So I'm sitting in the corner staring at a wall of just...
A brick.
A brick. Which is weird because in my mind, I'm like the doctor who really knows what's dangerous. And just because we're moving doesn't mean anything, but brick is bad.
Yeah,
brick just falls apart.
Well, if brick's just a cheap facade.
If you ever look at... If you go around, like after the... Okay, everybody, every house in Los Angeles has had their chimney rebuilt because they started off building the house in the 50s and 60s with a brick chimney.
Sure.
When the earthquake hits, the chimney slides off and falls off, and now they all build them back up, and they have those kickstand arms that go to the roof, those stabilizers and stuff. I've rebuilt those before, and they're all like stuccoed now. They're not brick anymore because all the brick ones fell down. And then 72, our brick chimney fell down, slid into the neighbor's yard, and just that was it. We never fixed it. And
boarded up the old fireplace.
That was that. But
Santa Claus never came back.
I know. I was sitting in the back, and I'm looking at this giant brick facade, and I'm processing all this brick masonry, and I'm thinking, like,
he goes up and tackles Funches. No,
I remember, like, I was thinking, is that Z brick? Like, it's real brick, but is that just grafted on as a facade, or did this start off as an old Hollywood building? Many of them with
the last remaining
with a brick exterior, and then that just became their calling card when the comedians would stand in front of that brick because. It's counterintuitive to go, we're doing comedy. We need masonry, you know, exposed. You know, like, it doesn't make sense. You could put bamboo back there or something.
Not as funny.
Anything. But
it's the least funny. Yeah,
I was just standing there, and it just kept rolling and rolling and rolling.
What a run to on stage.
And to everybody's credit in that sold-out club, everyone was quiet. Nobody panicked. No one got up and went anywhere. I was also kind of thinking, a lot of these people are from out of town. A lot, there's tourists here. They're from Indiana. They've never experienced this kind of thing. Are they going to freak? Everyone mellowed out. Everyone just sort of wrote it out.
That 2 drink minimum.
We just
spilled.
Waited till it all ended. It ended, and Ron went on with his set, and then I went up next, and I'd been starting with a lot of earthquake rehab humor.
Oh, so timely.
Lucky you.
And it's been falling flat, like just on deaf ears.
But this was my night.
Room erupts. Enough to keep me doing it for another 100 years.
Did Ron ever leave the stage?
Ron stood on the stage.
He's there right now.
Everybody sat where they were. Mm-hmm. I was watching... I was watching the lighting grid sort of rocking back and forth. To me, it was like, the building's not going to fall down. I know enough about this subject, but I'm not making any guarantees on any grids or rigs that people hung from the ceiling in 1974 when they were high on coke. Right. Like, that I can't guarantee.
Yeah, that's on its own.
Yeah.
So that thing was just sort of swaying around above his head with lights and metal and all that kind of stuff. I was just kind of staring at that and thinking, well, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to do anything. I'm in this booth in the back. But I was staring at the unfortunate brick facade, which takes up the whole wall. When I got on stage, I knocked on it, and it was a veneer.
Oh, thank so God. That makes sense.
It opened in 1975, and we don't know when the building must have been built. Some of those buildings, like, I don't know if that thing's been retrofitted. If you guys ever go to, like, a cool eatery on the West Side or cool bookstore or something on the West Side, and at some point you see a piece of steel coming up from the ground and then like branching right. off and whatever, that has been earthquake rehab. Like okay. you'll go, think about like a cool sushi place on the west side, and you're looking at the front door and you see what clearly looks like somebody cut out the cement, replaced it, and then a big square piece of steel going into the ground on each side of the right. door, and then a beam going across. That's called a moment.
It's kind of
basically make it so it won't rack.
Oh, wow.
I just thought yes. of this. Kind of a chicken or the egg thing, because at least out here in LA, and I have to imagine other places, a very trendy look for new restaurants is that sort of industrial, yep. exposed, no ceiling, you know what
very
I mean?
Right.
Got the, yeah, yeah. And it's a lot of beams. I wonder right. if it's sort of a chicken or the egg thing where you have to retrofit the place to, you know, meet standards. So let's just make the decor kind of fit it.
Somebody at some point, maybe the pioneer, in 1973, a young brash pioneer said, if I take Levi cut off jean shorts and I cut them short enough, I can get part of my boxers to hang down below the leg, and then I can get the other part to hang up above the belt line. Thus, you will see both ends of my boxers, even though I've left the house with shorts on.
Yeah.
That pioneer, at some point in the mid-80s, said, I must set a new exposed trend. Air conditioning ducting.
Yes.
The stuff that was formerly hidden behind drywall.
Bring it out.
No longer in soffits anymore.
His little side project was those phones, those Lucite phones with the wires exposed.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just a hobby. Not going
to
go the distance.
I want everyone to see how everything works. So somebody started running air conditioning ducting, solid sheet metal air conditioning duct, and just leaving it exposed.
Yeah, it looks cool.
And people was like, oh, it's a cool industrial look. And then the next iteration of that was, well, we'll put in these beams and this steel and this and these plates and everything, and let people look at it.
You think that was cool?
Yeah, let them know how everything works.
Wonder what's gonna do next.
Right. So big roller. Where was sorry, Max Pat, I don't know, do we have the official particulars on that?
Yeah.
Do I not have it here? Oh, we have it here. Sorry. It was 7.1, which is healthy. It's all kind of where it is. It's a Mojave Desert. There's been activity. Thursday was 6.4. Something's happening, right?
Thank God it's out there.
There's
what's
movement.
What's her name? Dr. Lucy Crest, or what's her name? She's the seismologist everybody talks to. She says we should have had, I don't know, in the last 5 years, we should have a certain amount of earthquakes, and we've been in an earthquake drought. So that's not good.
It's always a drought.
Exactly, right?
Lucy Jones.
Thank you. So, you know, there's like a certain number of earthquakes that we have that kind of keeps everything loose and moving and nothing too terrifying. And we have been in a drought. We haven't had as many earthquakes as we are supposed to have had by now. So that's why they think the pressure is building up.
Well, it's coming. And maybe we'll solve this whole homeless problem when the earth opens up and swallows them.
The old timer next to us has an idea.
I have an update on my... Northridge was only a 6.7. Feels a little low.
That's all it was, yeah.
I didn't know. I guess it was so close. I think the first one was like 7.2 or 7.4. But I have an addendum to my feminine canine hydration disorder, which has stricken many a woman.
I'm a victim. I'm suffering.
You have it. All women do. The older you get, the deeper, it's like arthritis or something. You can have it at 19 or 26, but it gets really bad as you get older.
Harder to function.
I was talking to young Peter who's working at my house about this syndrome, and he said, well, that's funny.
I got to finish the toilet.
He said, because Sonny and Lynette are going out of town for like a basketball tournament, and then they're going to Chicago or something like that. And he said, the only thing she said to me, vis-a-vis the house or looking after anything or keeping up with anything, is make sure Phil has water.
That's
at the top of
the
list.
Priority 1A.
That and by the way, there is no B or C on the list. There's just that. Phil's gotta have water.
After that, enjoy yourself.
It's such a chick thing and has nothing to do with dudes. I don't know. I'd say meeting in the middle, somewhere between obsessing over it and never putting water in the bowl, would be a happy medium.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, every couple of days, 2 or 3 days. Think about it.
Two or three days? Brian, you monster.
Oh, you know,
It's funny.
4 or 5 is too much.
It's funny that Phil needs fresh water, but Phil also likes to eat other dogs' poop when we take him for a walk. So I don't know how much he's sweating the fresh water.
Yeah.
This is an animal that eats other dog shit when I take him for a walk.
So any manner of water is just fine.
But maybe he needs a good rinse, a good clean rinse eating another dog's poop.
I clear my palate.
And then eating one of Sonny's socks and gnawing on someone's underpants. Oh. Maybe that's time for a good clean rinse.
What does that say about Sonny's socks?
Anyone's socks. All right, Lou Gossett Jr. is going to call in a second. I'll talk to you guys first about... Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure keeps them metal parts from rubbing on each other and losing, creating heat, creating friction. Three times, fool. Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is the best. It is Castrol Edge. All right, Fitzdog has surprised us. I think it's a Mike August scheduling thing, but we always love Greg Fitzsimmons, so he's going to come in and sit in with the news. Mm-hmm. The great Academy Award winner, and I said to Dylan, Officer and a Gentleman, was that like Lou's first big break? And he said, no, Roots. And I was like, oh yeah,
I don't remember. You were forced to watch.
I know. I blocked much of that from my childhood. So the great Academy Award winner and Emmy Award winner actor, Lou Gossett Jr., next. No. We'd be remiss if I didn't bring up my wine that I just took a sip off, which is Right on Red Pinot Noir, which... yours truly designed with the help of the fellas. And first off, I'm in love with the title Right on Red. My entire life is about turning right on red.
I just found this out.
And I turned left on red arrows, but you people...
So I watched your little rant. It was hilarious, encouraging everybody to just go straight through, go left on the red left arrow. Don't wait.
Well,
go for it now.
Please do not. Please. Yeah. It's your life. You're wasting your life, people. And also, people don't have a proper relationship with risk. Cops hide in places to give you tickets to gain revenue for their municipality. So you don't see the cops at the top of the hill, you see them at the bottom of the hill. And if you're going down the grapevine, they're at the bottom and the speed limit is 65 and you're doing 81 and you're going to get that ticket. And you don't have a fear of driving a car 80 miles an hour on your way up north, but you'll never go through a red turn arrow when I'm yelling at you, go through the red turn arrow because you're freaked out.
Get your bottle of Right on Red at knockingpoint.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hello, Ace Man. Felix here from San Diego. I know your thoughts on hygiene, showers, fruit wash, and hand sanitizer, but I'm really interested to hear your opinion on washing your hands after you pee at a urinal. Is that optional or mandatory? Thanks for the outstanding work. Keep on getting it on, my friend. Bye-bye.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Never do it, but that's me. I go the Philly cheesesteak route. I don't believe in any of that stuff, and if you can't handle your own urine, it's time to eat a bullet. Now, there's that part where you go, oh, well, then you got to shake hands and all that kind of stuff. I'm just now assuming the world is one big lousy hot dog filled with cockroach legs. And as long as those hot dogs aren't making me sick, I'm in. I don't want to break them open and find out what's in everything.
Fire up the grill.
Never. Also, whenever they tell you, like where they go, what has the most germs? And then they do that thing where they go, so, what has the most germs? Toilet seat in a subway or truck stop? the forehead of a street prostitute that's been bukkakied by 11 Asian businessmen, or the coaster your child uses in the den. It's always the most innocuous one that has the
It can't be the child's coaster. That's absurd.
The computer keyboard.
They wouldn't do it if it wasn't the worst, right? It's always the worst. It's always the doorknob of your house, your computer keyboard, or
the remote control of the hotel.
Right, the remote control of the hotel. So everyone's busy going over the comforter with the Woods light, but they're holding that.
Yep.
They got no problem
every
with
day,
it.
All
every
day.
Every day. So that's who we are. So now that we've wrapped our minds around that, we figured it out. Luke Gossett Jr. is on, is he on line six? You know, I may have screwed something up because I'm seeing here Officer and a Gentleman, and I was assuming that's where he got his Academy Award, but I also see Jaws 3D, so
we'll have to ask.
Luke Gossett Jr.?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
All right, are you in California?
I'm in California. You in Atlanta?
You guys, service a little bit was shaken up. I left it just in time, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, are you filming in Atlanta?
I'm living in Atlanta. I just finished a miniseries for HBO.
Oh, Watchmen?
Based on The Watchmen, yeah. And I've done so much work here, I decided, and just in time, I sold my house and took all my belongings out, and 10 days later, that same house burned down. So I got very lucky. Wow.
Were you in?
So now I'm in Atlanta and it's shaking in California. Got lucky again, I guess.
Were you?
But I worry about my friends there.
Were you in Malibu? Where were you?
It was in Malibu. It was Malibu home. The only thing left is a half a fireplace.
Wow. Ironic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just like out of predicted.
Just a half, though.
The movie, by the way, the new project called Supervised, it is premieres on Friday. That's a week from this Friday. That's July 19th. It'll be in theaters and video on demand as well. Also has Tom Berenger in it and Beau Bridges as well. Lewis, can you give us a little synopsis of what the Supervised is about?
Well, we're all superheroes. We had magic things back when we were young, you know. I could run very fast, and then Tom could point and tear a tree down, and then Bo could sneak his way through things. We were super heroes. Now we're all in old age home. Sometimes the stuff works, and sometimes it doesn't. Does that make you giggle? Hopefully the whole movie makes you giggle the same way, because we have a hoot. And there's also a woman in there that I love very much, Fionnuala Flanagan.
Let's step way back to the first time I saw you in Roots. I watched an entire miniseries. Where did you shoot Roots?
Well, we started in Savannah, Georgia, when I first met him. I was the first American he met. And then we did the rest in California at the Disney Ranch and different places like that, very close to where I used to live.
Do you remember, it's with such a crazy time in this country. That was,
it was.
Haley wrote the book, right?
And Wolpo was our producer. And it was very timely. But ABC didn't know how timely it was because they were afraid of losing the southern market. And it took the world. It stopped the world. It's like lightning in a bottle, you know? Every now and then stuff like that happens. And so it's nice to be part of that, participated in something that's historical like that. It's very nice.
Well, Officer and a Gentleman was sort of that way, too, because...
Yes, it was. Yeah.
That was a great... That was just a great, strong movie. And I guess for Richard Gere, it was after American Gigolo, right? It was the one after the next one, probably?
Right after. Yeah, so, one more film to do for Paramount. And my agent fought for me to play that character. And you know, so sometimes you have to watch out what you ask for, because now I have to deliver. So I got in the car and went down to San Diego and met the chief of MCRD, which is the Marine Corps Recruitment Division, at the end of Camp Pendleton, and I did 6 weeks of basic training as a DI.
I got to
so
say,
they wanted to make sure I didn't make a mistake, and they brought me. I brought one of them with me.
I don't know. Tell Chris Maxipata Dawson to find, I don't know, clip of Lou Gossett calling Richard Gere mayonnaise. But everyone thinks about Arlie Ermey and Full Metal Jacket, but Lou Gossett Jr. beat him by about, I don't know, 5 years?
5 years.
Something like that in the
I was trained by the DIs at the DI school. So when I left, I guess I really was the DI. I did everything they did, except smoke the Camels and drink the beer.
Were they as obnoxious as you were in that movie?
Well, it's not so much an obnoxious thing as it's tearing down all things that don't let you grow. You break them down and you create a new man or a new woman.
We're gonna.
That's the system that's still happening today.
We're gonna.
You create a brand new man, and then when you create that man, then you have a new friend, you have a bodyguard, a partner, and they never forget it. Even today, when I walk down the street, former Marines stop me and shake my hand.
We're gonna listen to a quick 1 minute clip of this, just because it brings me back, and the audience can hear how great you were.
You laughing at me, dick brain?
No, sir!
You better stop eyeballing me, boy. I'll rip your eyeballs out the sockets and skull fuck you to death.
Yes, sir!
What's your name, boy?
Mayo. Zach Mayo, sir.
How did you slip into this program? I didn't know the Navy was so hard up.
You got an injury there, Mayo? Not exactly, sir.
Tattoo.
Hey, this is really wonderful work. Where'd you get this, Mayo?
Subic Base, Philippines, sir.
Ah, thought I recognized the work. Be proud of them wings. They're the only ones you're gonna leave here with. Mayonnaise.
That's my Ram name. Yeah, it's a good movie, man. You guys may have missed Officer and the Gentleman should definitely watch it. It's got some twists and turns. Mayo throws down with Lou.
Yeah.
So for you, so that was an Academy. That's Best Supporting Actor, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Who won Best Actor that year?
Oh God, I have to look it up.
See if I can remember.
Ben Kingsley?
The best actor that year.
Your friend, Ben Kingsley?
Yes, right.
Was it?
Right. Gandhi.
Gandhi?
No shit.
Wow.
I mean, told you.
A lot of range. How's that? Now, you're 83 years of age now. Any thoughts about retirement?
Well, you don't really retire. You try and grow to the next level. So I'm having nice dialogues with some of the universities. I just finished the miniseries. I got a couple of movies that I can pick and choose from. But I think it's a different reason. Each day is very blessed at this age. So maybe I'm going to pass it on. Now it's time to pass it on to the next generation. And that's our job, I guess. And we do movies here and there, little cameos and stuff. But the most important thing is to make sure the next generation gets something that I learned so it makes their life better. My children, obviously, my two sons. And other up-and-coming actors and actresses. So I might be working for the universities. I'm right down the street from Pinewood Studios, which is one of the great studios. They did the Black Panther, and they did Spider-Man. Very nice people. So the future looks possible. I can choose here. I'm living very comfortably.
And
I can make a common-sense decision. There's a couple of movies coming out. I had a good time in, and I'm supervised with one.
Lou, last question for you. Lewis, sorry.
That's my name, man. Don't call me Big Padam.
So where were you born? You're born in the mid-late 30s? Is that correct?
I was born in 1936 in Brooklyn, New York.
What's your take on race relations now as somebody who's been black for almost your whole life? seen what you've seen and been where you've been. What's your take on where we're at?
I have a foundation called E-Racism, the word racism with an E in front of it. Because it's my number one thing is not to have that, and it's a disease, so it's not to have that inherited by the next generation. Because we come into a place on this planet where war and conflict has no place. The planet is dying, and it needs our 100% attention. It needs the attention of everybody without the onus of racism and other things. We need to concentrate as a people, as mankind, for the salvation of the planet and the salvation of us all. That's why we're here. So, for what it's worth, every time I open my mouth in front of a young person, that's what I say. beginning to make sense.
I wonder, I don't know, I doubt it'll work, but I have been seeing some stuff about extraterrestrials and UFOs, and they're starting to drill down on this a little. Like, it turns out it's not just crazy farmers anymore. They're finding footage taken by fighter pilots and stuff. It's like a little more than what it was a few years ago.
Right. Well, I have a sneaking suspicion that they've been watching it all along. It's us being sensitive to it. When we were sensitive before, now we're sensitive to it now.
Well,
maybe more is going to be revealed.
I'm wondering what that'll do for us in the way we think.
Yeah.
In terms of banding together?
It's paradigm shift.
It's bound to affect us one way or another.
Yeah, every movie I've seen, it seems to work. It's a way to rally the world versus this group and that tribe.
Well, we do need to rally the world for our salvation.
That would
There's
be
no
nice.
Time to drop in bombs and conflict. Time for us to be together.
Supervised is the name of the project. It is out on July 19th. It's also on video on demand, and also Watchmen coming up on HBO this fall. Lou, we're getting a little bit of static, so I'm going to wrap it up. But thanks for calling in, Lou Gossett Jr.
So you have a blessed day, and be safe there in California.
We'll roll with the punches and or the tectonic plates.
Roll with the rolling.
Lou left and his house burnt down 10 days later.
So long.
He lived in Encino. He just left a waffle iron plugged in. And no, he was in Malibu, I guess.
He did what we all want to do, walk away from the burning fires.
Have you guys been down to Malibu and been down to the peninsula and stuff like that?
Not since.
You will see Point Doom. You will see just random houses in between houses that are perfectly fine, just plucked up. It's very random. When you see a tsunami or an earthquake, you go, this whole neighborhood was wiped out. It was not like, well, one house.
Yeah.
And then this is just literally like one house burnt down in the middle of a bunch of stuff that's untouched.
Like a tornado.
We drove to Los Olivos over the Christmas holiday, and it goes right through there, right? The 101 and everything. Trees just burned like a matchstick. It's crazy.
Yeah. All right, let's see. I had a few more things to complain about. I will was talking about it recently, but I will tell you guys, because I heard some news today. I will re-explain the sort of progressive movement, which is I don't mind a fix on something. My beef is never stopping. And I've talked to you guys about smoking, but if you think about the smoking, it went from smoke anywhere you want, airplane, and sit wherever you want in the restaurant and smoke, to just move over to the smoking section and smoke. And everyone said, that sounds reasonable, because there's a family of five sitting on the booth next to me. Me and my single buddy are smoking. It sounds reasonable to move to that. And then they went and moved. And then they told them, hey, don't go from the smoking section. Just smoke at the bar. And I think the same people went, that sounds reasonable, because the smoke is kind of wafting into the thing.
Static.
And then they went to the bar and they smoked. And they went, we can still kind of smell the smoke from the restaurant. So just go out front. And they're like, Chicago, it's winter. Just go out front and smoke. And they went, all right, now I'm outside. And they went outside and they smoked. And they went, we need you to move it down the street. And then they moved it into the park. And then they said, no smoking in the park. I saw an article today at Netflix. It's not going to have smoking depicted on Netflix things. And that's what I'm talking about, the progressive movement. And then you go, how about a vape pen? No. So it's like, is the bottom line not smelling other people's cigarettes, or, as I suspect, is it telling other people what to do with no finish line? There is no finish line. You have now, the cigarettes are gone. You're no longer smelling other people's cigarettes.
You're not in the physical world.
You are done. No, you are not done, because the job was never to... It was never to tell people. It's the same with the Christian right and the like birth control and stuff like that. It's not about that. It's about not, you don't want people to fuck willy nilly. You don't like that.
Right.
You're a religious person. Okay. But you don't state it that way. You don't, you go, oh, I don't want condoms to be available for, you know, whatever. But that's what it is. And progressive movement people, you have an infatuation with telling people what to do.
Yeah.
You can't stop telling people what to do. Even when it has nothing to do with you, you can't stifle yourself. So you get on to cigarettes, but you're never done. Now, so we're now no smoking in the park. No vaping in San Francisco or selling jewels or whatever, and no depiction of cigarettes on Netflix. I would argue that that's a never-ending list of never done in this subject, and it's all you do is tell people what to do, and that's why you get pushback. You didn't get pushback when you told the first group to get up out of the dining area and sit in their own dining area. You didn't get that much pushback, but you're starting to feel it now because it's sounding like what it is.
It's getting outrageous.
I'm in love with telling others what to do.
Yeah.
There's so much of that going around now. I don't get it, but somebody needs to slow their fucking roll.
Both of the examples you gave on both sides, whether it's contraception or smoking, either direction, it's just, it boils down to, this is how I think the world should work, and everyone listen to me.
Right.
Imposing your beliefs on how the world should work.
Right. Okay. Knock it the fuck off. That's your belief. That's not everyone else's belief, and you shouldn't have to enforce that. And the problem is once you pass some legislation, then it's sort of done by the barrel of the gun. Like, it is now illegal. I mean, I don't know. If you smoke a cigarette on an airplane, they will turn that airplane around.
They'll be waiting for you at the gate.
They'll be waiting to arrest you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought it was funny. I like when they have depictions of smoking. But it's always funny when they grandfather in historical smoking.
Oh, that's right. Like, yeah, Civil War or whatever.
Yeah, or, you know, Winston Churchill can smoke a cigar.
While he's pondering.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Adam,
also, what I've yelled a million times is, can we wrap our minds around the concept that a certain percentage of people in our society smoke? Okay. Well, then it would stand to reason if 15% of 25-year-olds smoke...
Once in a while.
Then if you had an ensemble of 14 people, 1.5 of them or 2.5 of them would smoke.
Yep.
Okay. Now, we're not making a value judgment on it. It's just what is. Why are we doing this?
The character, of course, has to comment. That's bad for you.
Sure. Mad Men couldn't have been done.
Mm.
Right.
Every scene.
All right. We got, let's see. Fitz Dog is out there. We did not know that. But
welcome
it is...
what a lovely surprise.
Yeah.
It also includes e-cigarettes in Netflix.
Yeah.
Also, it's so sad that Netflix has become woke in like the last 15 minutes. So goddamn sad. Like, does everyone have to be woke? Or can you just curate art and push it out there?
It's also a certain irony in the thing that was supposed to abate smoking, right? The e-cigarette, you know, the water vapor or whatever, is now public enemy number one. It's taken over for cigarettes because that's not a problem anymore.
That's the morning after pill to the people who claim to hate abortion.
Yeah.
They also ironically hate that. It should be your best friend.
Fix it.
You hate this thing, and here's a pill that'll fix that thing you hate. No.
It's the litmus test for what you really think.
Right.
Do you dislike cigarettes, or do you want to tell people what to do?
Seems like you have an infatuation with telling people what to do, which is... the atheist version. By the way, these are all atheists. I am God. Mm. You have now become your own God.
They're imparting their moral authority on populace.
Right. Mm-hmm. We'll also feature information about tobacco use in ratings boxes for each show.
So sexual content, violence.
The word is not out that cigarettes are not multivitamins. We've not sufficiently got that word out. I'm going to be laying on my deathbed, and they're going to go, Adam, what do you remember from your 80 years on the planet? I'm going to be like, well, pretty much arguing over pot, gay marriage, and lots of discussions about cigarettes being bad for you. That'll be my only...
That's your takeaway.
That's my takeaway from my 80 years on this fucking planet that we have to discuss never ending. It's bad for you. Good. Every kid knows it. By the way... This is nasty stuff. Like, my kids will go like, oh, did you hear so-and-so, this older brother got caught vaping. Like, it is taboo. Sinister. It is sinister. It is a no-fly zone. There is not a 13-year-old on the planet who thinks smoking is cool anymore. It's not what it was. Yeah. It's not when I was watching the Bad News Bears and Kelly would light up a cigarette. That was a cool 13-year-old. No mas no today. The word is out. We've got that fixed. Now let's go to traffic and the homeless and see if we can burn as many calories on that. Yeah, Stranger Things, Orange is the New Black. Women can't smoke in prison.
Smoke in prison.
All right. We'll bring Fitz Dog in a second. I'll tell you guys that we're winding down our crowdfunding on Meme Gods with Cedric the Entertainer and Mad Magazine.
Just in time.
Yeah. Lots. We're not just talking about perks. It's an investment. If you want to be part of documentary filmmaking, you can invest in these docs and you can get a return on these docs. So it's not the get a T-shirt and an outgoing message on your phone machine. Microventures.com/Adam. Learn more and invest. Microventures.com/M. These are going to be good films. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back with Fitz Dog and the news right after this.